Hello, welcome to my monthly podcast, The Influencers, a series of monthly interviews with people from all walks of life who shape, change, and influence our daily lives in one way or another. Now, my first interview was with the amazing Rachel Williams, who suffered domestic violence and has been through hell and back, but who's now influencing people's perceptions, raising awareness and shaping organisations and government policy and laws. And thank you so much to all of you who've been in touch to say how much you enjoyed the honest and, frankly, mind-boggling interview we did at the Celtic Manor Resort in South Wales. Now, April's podcast is a little bit different. I've had to change my plans a little, and unfortunately, my next interview with Sophie Howe, who's the Future Generations Minister for Wales, has had to be postponed for obvious reasons. But never mind, when all this is over, we'll have the chance to hear from Sophie about the amazing work that she does and how she influences companies, individuals, organisations and government with ideas, strategies and policies. And seriously, guys, she's a really good interviewee and it's going to be an honest and interesting chat. So watch this space. So for this month's podcast, I thought I'd play you an interview I did with, well, someone who's certainly an influencer in every way. He's an international Hollywood movie star, an activist, and a charity and good causes supporter who, again, takes time out to change people's perceptions, to help raise awareness, and who tries his best to shape and improve and to influence. He also happens to be one of Wales's favourite sons from the Port Talbot area, Michael Sheen. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Michael when he was in Cardiff last year to promote the very successful Homeless Football World Cup. Now, the interview went out on my radio show on Swansea Sound in 2019, but I thought, well, who better to be on the podcast and to step in, as it were, during this very strange and worrying time. So, I hope you enjoy the interview, which we recorded at the Cardiff School of Journalism last year. I was the first on the list of people to interview him, and I was really nervous. I really was. I've got to ask you, first of all, do you pinch yourself now and again, as a man from Baglan, Newport, Port Talbot, that you're now this critically acclaimed actor?
Well, we have a great tradition in Port Talbot, Chris, of, you know, Richard Burton, Anthony Hopkins, Rob Brydon. I always have to say Rob, because he gets very upset if I don't mention him in the same breath. I mean, it is an extraordinary thing, isn't it, coming from an area like Port Talbot, which you wouldn't necessarily associate with producing actors or celebrities or stars of any kind, and yet it does have this tradition.
But why is that then?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors, I think, isn't it? I mean, the reasons why Richard Burton became a big star are very different to why I've had success in my career. Mike, I look back at my career, and if it hadn't been for the Westcliff Morgan Youth Theatre, a man called Godfrey Evans, who was working out of Samfield's Comp and created this extraordinary arts network within our area, within our county. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had the life that I've had. But he wasn't around when Richard Burton was there, when Anthony Hopkins was there. Hopkins was inspired by Burton. I think he did his first show at the YMCA in Tybach. So, you know, there are all these different factors. I think there is a supportive network there in Port Talbot. You know, when you say you want to be an actor, people are like, oh, like a new Richard Burton, is it? And there's a kind of support there. There's a respect for it that maybe you wouldn't associate with other areas like Port Talbot around the country.
But you've kept your associations with Port Talbot specifically, haven't you, really?
I have, well, because it's why I've done what I've done. You know, I owe it all to the community that I come from, and particularly doing The Passion in Port Talbot in 2011 had a big effect on me and my life and my association and relationship with the town. I got to see that community in a very different way. I had the privilege, really, of being able to talk to pretty much everybody in the town at some point or another, no matter what part of the hierarchy of the area they were from. And it gave me a completely different view of things and got me involved with different organisations that are there on the front lines, helping communities, helping people who need help, you know, who need a bit more support. And it was out of that, really, that something like my involvement with the Homeless World Cup has borne the fruit of.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then. You're back in Wales for a very special reason, I suppose. So tell us all about the Homeless World Cup. What's your involvement in that?
Well, the Homeless World Cup is something that does happen every year in different host nations. This year, it is coming to Wales. I've been part of bringing it to Cardiff. It'll be happening from the 27th of July to the 3rd of August in Bute Park next to Cardiff Castle. There are over 500 people coming to represent their country from over 50 different nations. All the players are people who in the last 12 months have experienced some form of homelessness or social exclusion. My involvement came out of really being involved with an organisation called Street Football Wales, who work out of the Swansea area, but for the whole of Wales, organising football teams, tournaments, leagues for people who are dealing with homelessness in some way, social exclusion. And they got in touch with me about 4 or 5 years ago now and said, you know, come, will you get involved? And I thought, well, why are people putting their energy and time and money into football for homelessness when you could just deal with the issues themselves, you know? So I talked to them, and then I realized the brilliance of the idea. The football is the hook. Football is what brings people in. You can get services to them easier. You can develop self-confidence, health and well-being. People suddenly start to have a bit more of a social network, and it becomes, you know, a potentially transformative thing.
So, but you're a football fan anyway, aren't you?
I am a football fan. I've seen how football has the power to transform people's lives and break down barriers all over the world. I've played football matches in refugee camps. You know, I've seen boy soldiers who could barely talk about their experiences suddenly change when a football comes out. So I've seen the power of football. And then through Street Football Wales, I went to the Homeless World Cup in Oslo. It was that year, a couple of years ago, in Norway. And I travelled with the Welsh teams, men's team and women's team. I was with them at the World Cup, and I saw the effect it can have on people to put that Welsh jersey on to represent your country. It doesn't matter whether you're Gareth Bale or someone who's been out on the streets, you know, on Queen Street in Cardiff. If you do that, that has an effect on you. And you can see it. I saw someone score their first goal ever for their country in Oslo. And the effect on her face, this woman who had been through all kinds of trauma. And you know, I'd been talking to her. I knew a bit of her story. To see what happened when she scored that goal, wearing her country's vest on her chest, you know, it was incredible. So I thought, well, why can't we bring it to Wales? Let's bring it here. Let's show the world the kind of welcome that Wales can give. Let's show what our values are, what we care about, how we welcome people. And let's celebrate the best of Welsh culture.
How difficult do you think is it to change people's perceptions or misperceptions and understanding of homelessness? I know Cardiff all of a sudden, well, for some reason, has had some kind of explosion of homeless people on the streets. How difficult is it?
Well, it is difficult. I think there is this sort of attitude a lot of the time, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone else, that there's this sort of them over there. This is something that happens to these people, and it's not us, you know. And we're encouraged to, you know, be helpful and to take pity and to give charity and help. But, you know, this is us. Everybody goes through difficult patches in their lives. You know, it might be that you have a loved one who dies. You might be let go in your job. You know, there might be illness. Anything can happen to anyone. But it's also not a level playing field. You know, there are certain people who are more at risk, certain communities who are more at risk. And so, you know, it's not an us and them thing. We want to make sure, I use the football analogy, when you're playing football, when you're playing at the back, sometimes the ball goes over your head, you turn around, and if you're lucky, there's a sweeper there to mop up. You know, you've got support behind there. But on the days where you're not lucky, there's no one there to help you. We want to make sure that when the ball goes over anybody's head in our culture, in our society, in our community, that there's always support there for you, you know, and because everyone needs it at different times. So that's the first thing, is to get rid of this idea that it happens to other people. It's us. This is who we are. And then to be able to sort of look into what does homelessness look like? I think we have an image of it, and it can be quite an intimidating image sometimes, or a pitiful image. But it looks very different to what we might think. You know, a lot of homelessness is not about street homelessness necessarily. That's what we see, rough sleeping. But it's people who are sofa surfing, people who don't have anywhere stable to live, or people who are at risk of it as well. It's not just about the people who are actually on the streets. It's people who are on the edge, you know, because they might be in housing arrears of some kind, or you know, there might be anything going on in the family. You don't know. You could. It's a very thin skin for a lot of people, and you can drop through at any moment.
But I know there's a few organisations in Wales. I've done some work for Chama, who are based in Cardiff, and they deal with sofa surfing and homelessness in Cardiff and Wales. So, I mean, to have someone in your position, it must be an honour and a privilege to do something about it, yeah?
Well, you know, you get asked to, I'm sure you know the same thing, you get asked to come along to things and maybe have a photograph taken with people and, you know, get their name out there, get them in the papers a little bit. But at a certain point, if you feel like I want to do more. Once you start to see the sort of work that out there that people are doing, like Clamai, organizations who are doing everything they can to support people when they need it, and you start to see how difficult it is for them, difficult for the actual support network, you know, then you want to do anything you can to help them and you want to get more involved. And so the Homeless World Cup presents a fantastic opportunity, I think. That's why I was so motivated to do it. It's to create a brilliant tournament for the people who are coming to watch and the people who are taking part, but it's also because it gives a platform for us to talk about these issues, to get people involved, to change people's minds about, you know, all these issues, and to try and create a legacy. That's the most important thing, is to make sure that the Homeless World Cup in that week is a brilliant event, but it's what happens afterwards that's the most important thing. How can we make significant changes for people who are on the front lines of these issues?
It's a free event, so let's round up then. Tell me exactly when the event is and where, and how do people get a hold of you? Is there a website?
Yep, so it's July 27th to August 3rd at Bute Park next to Cardiff Castle. It's free. There will be a fantastic football tournament going on every day. There will be music every day, the best of Welsh music on the Green Man stage. There'll be at least two acts every day, some familiar faces, some new ones who are very exciting. We're going through a brilliant time in Welsh music at the moment, so all the acts will be Welsh. And it's to try and get more and more people to come down and watch the football and engage in the issues. There'll be a debate tent where we can talk about all kinds of things around these issues as well. And like I say, there'll be over 500 players representing their country from over 50 different countries. So come down, enjoy yourself, get involved, enjoy the football, get engaged in the debate, and let's change it, this country for the better together.
Good. Well, thank you so much. It's been an honour to meet you. Thank you very much. Diolch yn fawr iawn.